Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maury McGonigal and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Good evening and welcome, folks, to Rock Sport Radio. It's Tuesday night again, and I'm Maury McGonigal, and this is Let's Hear It for the Girls. Tonight we've got Emma Kane and Charlie Bowie with us, both involved in water skiing. Emma is Development Officer for Water Ski and Wakeboard Scotland, and Charlie, you're a senior team member for the same organisation. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
So Let's Hear It for the Girls. And listen, thanks for taking time out and taking that long journey down from Dunfermline.
No, thanks for having us.
I'm looking forward to our chat and to hearing a wee bit more about what you do. But as usual, before we go into the chat, we can have a little look back at what's happened in Scotland throughout the last week, and we do a little roundup. So if you're happy to sit with me and give me your opinion whenever you feel like it, ladies, happy to listen. We're going to start off with hockey, and it was amazing because it was such a successful opening game in the Women's Euro Hockey Championships in front of a full house of fans at the Glasgow National Hockey Centre, where they won their opening match 7-0. So it was a double for Cass Cuthbert and Lucy Lanigan, goals from Charlotte Watson, Emily Dark, and Fiona Burnett gave Scotland an excellent opening result to the tournament. So that's on, I think, until the 10th of August. Might be wrong there, but there's still some games to go and watch. So why don't you go out and support them? I thought this was interesting. I am Team GB. You might not have heard of this yet. I just picked it up recently. And it's inspired by the achievements of Team GB athletes and the amazing efforts of the local community heroes. I Am Team G have created the nation's biggest sports day, which will take place on the 24th of August 2019. There'll be hundreds of free and fun activities across the country put on by amazing volunteers known as I Am Team GB Games Makers. So you can join in this either by signing up to an activity or becoming a games maker and hosting one yourself. And for more information, check out the website, which is iamteamgb.com. Sounds like quite a good idea.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's just great to get more people involved in something active and just really open your doors to everyone.
And it gives you a focus, doesn't it? When there's a date there, you know, you can work towards something for the 24th of August. Do you think that's something you might do?
Absolutely,
it's definitely something we can look into, even centre-specific, between all of our sites, have a little look into it.
Yeah, it's not like I'm putting you under any pressure. I'm just asking that
question. No, not at all. You know
do
what?
You
it's
think
in
that's
my diary.
Yes, Maureen.
It's there. It absolutely is. And, you know, we may not be. We don't yet have a, you know, a Scottish team, and it's not anything in the Olympics yet, but we're getting there. We're crying out loud, look at skateboarding.
Slowly but surely.
You know, board sports are taking over.
Esports, so yeah.
Absolutely.
So let me know if you do anything. That would be great to announce it in the programme.
Yeah, no, well, indeed.
So we're going to gymnastics, and the senior women's group of Erin Henderson, Sasha Muir and Chloe Rylands have been selected to represent Great Britain at the Acrobatic European Championships in Holon, Israel, in October this year. So this selection follows a great season for the partnership as they recently represented a Team GB at the European Games in Minsk. So good luck to them when that comes along, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it before then. Now we're on to Sport Scotland, and we're getting into that time of year, awards time. I love it.
Oh no, it's great, isn't it? Bringing everyone together for just a fun time, isn't it?
So it's the annual Coaching, Officiating and Volunteering Awards, which recognise the contribution made by outstanding individuals from across the sporting system, and it's now open for nominations. So if there's somebody from your community, club, school or sport that deserves recognition, here's your chance to nominate them. Winners will be recognised at an awards ceremony at the Glasgow City Chambers on Thursday the 21st of November, and nominations will close at 12 noon Monday the 2nd of September. Again, Sports Scotland website, coaching part of that, and you will see how you can nominate them. And do you know what, really, it's really difficult. We run awards in Scottish Women in Sport, and getting people to put folk in to nominate them, I think sometimes they think they sort of count them out before they even actually put them in, but it's so good, you know, there's a recognition there for the hard work. It doesn't need to be that you've, you know, coached the most elite athlete. It could be the time you've spent, it could be, you know, the patience you've got, it could be so 101 different things. You know, so it's something definitely. What do you think of awards?
Yeah, well, I think it's just really good to recognise people and what they've, the impact that they've had in their industry and their sport. Actually, recently, our COO and founder of Water Ski Wakeboard Scotland, actually, Alan Murray, just received his MBE for his contribution to the sport.
Yeah,
so we're just, it's been quite amazing, actually, you know, and you know what, sometimes it's just nice for someone to actually sit back and have what they've done recognized. Because a lot of the time, if you're working from a strategic point of view and trying to develop your sport, you're not always there firsthand, so people don't always see every day the impact that you're having on people. So no, definitely in sport where you're having just an impact on people's lives like, and that, it's just fab to,
I think, yeah, it's recognize. A great opportunity to raise awareness of your sport as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely. It's a real morale boost, and it also gives more people like understanding of that and sees where it could take you, which is amazing.
You know, in some ways, people are not looking for a monetary gain or whatever, but to know that people have recognised what they've done, that's more
the
than
recognition
enough.
Could be more than any sort of prize could ever be.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on to football, and it's a first and a major step and a statement by UEFA, as they have appointed Stephanie Frappart, who was referee for the Women's World Cup final last month. They've appointed her to the UEFA Super Cup match between Liverpool and Chelsea on August the 14th. This is history in the making. Mm-hmm. So Frappart will lead a team made up mostly of officials. She'll be accompanied by Manuela Nicolosi of France and Michelle O'Neill from the Republic of Ireland, who will be the assistant referees for the match. The pair also, like Frappart, were officiated the Women's World Cup in the final on the 7th of July. However, this is not the first female referee assigned to a men's UEFA competition match. That honour went to Switzerland's Nicole Pignat, who refereed three UEFA Cup qualifying round games in 2004-2009. I think this is a major statement, and a major statement by an organisation that people look up to, and it can only lead to good things. What's your thoughts on that?
It definitely shows that more women are getting their foot in the door, they're getting their way in, and they're working their way up the same way that would be expected from anyone else.
And what you're hoping is that they've been appointed there in terms of what they've achieved. Yeah. You know, it's not a tick box, you know, we've got a woman there, because she's going to be under so much pressure.
Mm. There's so much scrutiny that goes around with being someone new in that environment, but I think she's going to go out there and smash it. Because as long as she does well, then it shows that it's not because she's a woman she's doing well, it's because she's genuinely good at what she's got going.
I'm just kind of worried how the press and the fans will react on the night, but it's...
a lot of eyes on you.
It's going to be interesting, and it's not that far away, so we'll keep an eye on that one and see what happens. Another thing happening in football is the Scottish FA are to embark on a comprehensive review to further develop domestic women's football. So the governing body will meet with the Scottish Professional Football League and Scottish Women's Football in September to discuss the way forward. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell has pledged to reinvest all funds generated from Scotland's debut at the Women's World Cup, and around £400,000 remains in the pot earned from the finals in France after payments to the players. So this is interesting. I mean, I worked in football for about 20-odd years, and there's so many different organisations in football. But women's football was slightly different because they had the national team. And so there's been some integration, some not integration. I think taking time for a review to get it right to move forward, because they made the world stage this year. You're hoping they're going to make the European stage again when it comes around. There's so much pressure on now that all the support that can come in, should it come into the male governing body? Should the women be allowed to continue? It's going to be interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, those are just the questions that are always going to come up, aren't they? And at the end of the day, just, you know, see what works for everybody and just take the situation for what it is.
I think in a lot of sports... you know, women have had to sort of plough their own furrow and stand outside. And now it's about how you get the best integration to make sure that everyone receives their fair share. So it's not going to be an easy do, but I'm delighted they're actually looking about it. And also that they're publicising, they're making it public that this is what's going to happen. But I also hope they'll bring in people from outside. Sometimes you can be too insular. So get the voices from outside. There's many organisations that could support and they could learn from. So, yeah, it's another watch this space.
Yeah.
Life is never dull in women's sport, is it?
Not at all. We all have a voice and it's going to be heard.
Lots of new opportunities.
Oh, dear. So after a sensational comeback, we're going to talk about squash now, because Georgia Adderley, who is a great individual, a great role model for women in sport, but she was trying to keep her hopes alive in the World Junior, and it was disappointment. She lost out in the last 16. She tweeted that she was disappointed with the way I played, but things to take away and learn from for the next event. Great attitude, and as I say, what a marvellous young woman. So on to athletics, and it's never dull in athletics. Scotland have new women's 4x100 metre national record. A fine run in Belfast saw the class of 2019 quartet clock 45:30 to eclipse the existing record of 45:37, which is obviously subject to ratification procedures. The previous record was set fully 33 years ago, back in 1986, and that's the fifth Scottish athletic records from 1980 that have been broken in the past 2 months, so it's amazing what they're doing there. The athletes involved in the Northern Ireland were Chloe Lambert, Alicia Rees, Heather Payton and Katie Wiper. And also now looking forward to the Manchester International Midweek, Scottish athletics have confirmed their selections for the event on the 14th of August. Mike's going to be a busy night. That's the same night
as
the...
It keeps coming up, doesn't it?
We must remember to put that in my diary. Don't do anything 14th of August.
It's a lucky date.
It's 3 years since the pilot event saw Scotland send a team south for the first time, and that was repeated again in the summer of 17 and 18. So the team consists of Katie Wiper, Stacey Downey, Philippa Millage, Mile Kerry McAngus, Louise Walker, Heather Payton and Kirsten Aslan. And they'll also have long jumper Holly MacArthur, triple jump Zara Asante, pole vault Courtney Maguire, hammer Rachel Hunter, shot putt Mary Porterfield and Sarah Malone joining Wiper Downey Payton for the 4x100 again. And ambulant Amy Carr completing the list. So busy time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many powerful women in there.
Isn't
it's going to be
it?
A delightful event.
And all of them are balancing work with their sport, but they're breaking records. And Scottish athletics just seem to be the golden sport at the moment.
I know.
They're doing so many good
things.
Absolutely
cracking it.
And great news today to hear about Ellie Doyle, who's going to retire after the summer as she's hoping for a little baby Doyle come January, I think.
Oh, no.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Ellie, from all at Rocksport and at Scottish Women in Sport. So we're going on to cycling and Women's Tour of Scotland, which we've been waiting for, and will kick off this weekend, and it starts in Dundee on Friday morning and finishes later that afternoon in Dunfermline.
In the hometown.
So you might be sitting at your office and thinking, what the heck's going on here?
I don't know, sure you could go wakeboarding in Fox Lake, Dundee, and then just wakeboarding in Dunfermline.
Just turn it into a duathlon.
Just on each end of
they can wakeboard halfway through, it'll make them feel so much better.
So stage two starts in Glasgow on this Saturday. And the riders will make their way to Perth before the final station in Edinburgh on the Sunday. So it should be an amazing event.
Absolutely.
To go out and watch. I think that, you know, there's one on in London at the weekend with full TV coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. I'm going along to shout support from the sidelines on Saturday.
Oh, that's good fun though, isn't it?
Yep. And what they're saying is if you want to have a go yourself, then Gail Porter will be riding the Ride for Public at Holyrood Park on stage 3 in Edinburgh. So you can go along, you can take your family, meet Gail Porter and do that little public event. So again, you want to find out more, we're just whetting your appetite here. Go to the website Women's Tour of Scotland and they will tell you more. A quick good luck again to Brooke Neely, who is boxing in the quarterfinals of the European Champs today in Tbilisi, Georgia. So that really is our roundup. Ladies, that wasn't too bad. You weren't too terrified?
Definitely not.
And we're relaxed. So what we're going to say is, you know, it's time for you to have a little break. But we want you to come back and join us because there's so much to talk about and we've got such chatty individuals that I think the time will fly. So come back and join us after this ad break.
Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maureen McGonigal and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back to Rock Sport Radio and Let's Hear It for the Girls. And welcome back also to Emma and Charlie.
Thank you.
Just before we go in, because I'm fascinated not only about the jobs you do, but, you know, what you've actually done as individuals, I think it's going to be really, really interesting. But before we go back and hear from Charlie and Emma, once again, you know, if you've got an event, a result, a project, anything you'd like to mention in the show, drop me a line and let me know what's happening. So you can get me at Maureen Rocksport on Twitter. And it really would be great to hear from you. This is an opportunity for you to promote your sport. And as I say before, if you'd like to come on and chat, I think Emma and Charlie will tell us later, it's not really that scary. It's not. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, gosh,
good
I
to be
both
here.
Left me.
We're gone.
Welcome. You've already said welcome, Maureen. Let's start off by asking both of you to explain what is wakeboarding. I know water skiing. I can see it in my head. Tell me what's wakeboarding.
So For wakeboarding, the way I like to explain it to younger people is it's kind of like skateboarding.
Are you saying I'm younger?
Definitely. It's kind of like skateboarding or snowboarding, but on the water.
Right.
So you're in that nice sideway position, and it gives you that little bit more adrenaline than what skiing does, in my opinion, from the beginning.
Do you have a different explanation? I mean, have you got one for older people?
Oh yeah, we take the different demographics.
No, we share the workload.
So really, it's so interesting how today, still walking down the street, you will still find people don't know what wakeboarding is, which is totally fine. Something we're definitely combating at the moment. But so it's kind of like a fat, stubby snowboard, really. So, you know, you squish it down and it's the same kind of deal, except you do not make the mistake of attempting to turn your wakeboard, or you will have quite an unfortunate face plant. But yeah, basically you can go underneath a cable, which is like a kind of wire in the sky that pulls you along,
kind of like a flying fox but for wakeboarding.
It is very much like flying. Or behind a boat, the old traditional way, strapped in behind the boat, towed along, alter your speed. They are surprisingly different. For example, I started off behind the boat, and I found cable extremely different because, for example, behind the boat, you're going a lot faster, but also you have to work with the thing called a wake.
Back, I would assume. And
yeah, it's mainly...
Upright.
It's very much in your core, so you want to have a straight back and you want to have a very strong position, you know, keeping your chest up, your hip to your hand, very, very stance heavy, you know, to be able to actually do it for longer than 5 minutes or your arms will just break right off.
Well, I have to say that it's a fabulous visual in my head of what it is.
You need to come and give it a bash sometime.
Oh, you shouldn't do.
Aha!
I could spend all day trying to explain, really. Like, it's just... No, cable and boat are different, but behind the cable it's more park heavy, so if you do snowboarding or skiing, you'll know that you're either maybe a bit of a cruiser going off piste, or you'll go to the park. So for cable, it's, you know, basically on a park you have your jumps and your rails and things like that, whereas behind the boat you do everything off a wake, which is kind of, the boat creates a wake, it's kind of like a wave that it makes for you to go off.
Possibilities are endless.
Fabulous Irish accent. So listen, we're going to talk to you first, Emma.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you the question, because we've just heard you talk really eloquently about wakeboarding and water skiing. Was that your passion when you were growing up? Tell us about.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So, I know, that's the thing. Whenever I grew up, I went to school and did sports through school. So I did hockey and a little bit of rugby and like football, things like that. And I didn't, to be honest, really click with it. And athletics as well, high jump, don't understand. It just wasn't really my jam. It didn't click with me. So that kind of put me in the box of not being, air quotes, sporty, or what is maybe defined as being sporty. So I didn't actually do a whole lot of physical activity whenever I was young and in school. So that was just me thinking, right, well, I guess I'm just not really meant for sport. And then I actually went to university and met some friends who did mountaineering, climbing and wakeboarding. Had never tried these things before, ever. So I just, you know, said, why not? I'll go along. And if anyone knows me, they know I am probably the biggest chicken out there. I'm scared of everything. So, you know, but I like to say, well, I'm a chicken, but I think I'm also the bravest person because I'll still do it. Exactly. You know, I'm discouraged, but it'll just flow me out there. I'll be fine.
Can I take you back to, you know, when you were at school and you were saying that you didn't fit in a box? Mm-hmm. And is that a challenge, do you think? Is that still happening? Are young girls in school nowadays thinking to themselves, well, sport's not for me because, you know, we're not introducing things that maybe challenge them? What's your thoughts on that?
I think there needs to be just wider ranges of options for particularly girls in school in sport, because, you know, I wasn't very fast. I don't know if that was my, you know, eating problem of just not wanting to get up, but you know, I do think that if there's a sport out there for everybody, and I think that kids in school should have the opportunity to try as much as possible, because there will be something out there that they click with, even if they're not very good at it. You can still have a really good time doing it, and you're getting active. Yeah. So I definitely think that that's something that's still happening, which is something I want to change, because I did know one guy in school who did wakeboarding, but no one knew what it was, and he would go and do his wakeboarding, and he would, you know, a way out of school to do competitions and things like that. But it's shocking now looking back, because I didn't know what that was. So it's just awareness and knowledge and knowing what's out there and giving it a go, because, you know what, face your fears. It's not that scary. Coming from me, if I can do it.
It's definitely something schools are more diversifying now. even when I was at school a couple of years ago, we started doing, like, for Active Girls Day, getting more crazy sports in.
Yeah.
So we ran an Active Girls Day in my sixth year at school, and we got lots of people involved, first, second and third year girls all taken out of class for the day to do this day of sport, sports that they wouldn't normally do. So we managed to get judo teachers in, we got a rock climbing wall, we got more than the classic sports that you were giving at school. Like, when I was in first year, we were like, netball, rugby, football, pick one.
Yeah, and then, yeah, that's true.
Obviously, you picked rugby because why should you ever be put in that box?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And from there, that's when my love for, like, lots of weird things like that started to happen,
uh-huh,
which is really good. And schools are definitely pushing for more of that now. And yeah, if you do have a unique sport, people want to hear about it. They want to learn. They want to get more involved.
I think the problem is, I mean, the getting the availability of, you know, maybe teachers, getting availability of venues, etc., mm-hmm, etc. But these are all things you can overcome. So it's great, mm-hmm, to hear that things are changing, mm-hmm, even from your own time, Emma.
Yeah.
But take me to the point where you did discover water ski and wakeboarding. I mean, yeah, what was this? Did you wake up one day and have an epiphany and say,
right,
wow,
this is something I need to do. I need to squeeze myself into an unflattering wetsuit and jump in the cold Scottish water.
Mm.
No, so it was some friends who were doing it now and again, and I can't even exactly remember, but I came along to the National Training Site at Dunfermline, and my friends were as if they were born on a board, you know, so naturally very, very good. I was the only beginner. And I actually started skiing because how it used to be was people would say that skiing was easier to pick up than boarding. But
so this is water skiing?
Yeah.
I believe it's exactly. All lies.
So I'm the most uncoordinated person on 2 feet. If you put me on rollerblades, ice skates, I'll just fall in seconds. So I managed to get up skiing and I had a good time, but I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to try wakeboarding because, you know, let's be honest, if your feet are strapped together, I only have to think about one thing. So I did it once and I think I fell countless times before I actually managed to get up, because something that's quite difficult with wakeboarding is standing up is probably one of the most difficult learning curves that you'll have in the sport, because it's so unnatural for you to let a handle pull you out without you having to pull yourself out. If you try to bend your arms and pull yourself out, you're gonna fall. So it's a really bizarre kind of process to learn for the first time, but it's so incredible that 1 second that you achieve something in the sport, you are just filled with this unmatched confidence. Because you look at what you're doing, you're behind a boat on a board with a handle, like, it's incredible. So it's the confidence it gives you is just amazing, and it's such an incredible thing. You do feel like you're flying behind this boat with these waves around you, and I actually am still so excited and inspired when we see on the ladies' nights the girls come for the first time and you see this passion just ignite in their face when they stand up. It's something as simple as that can just completely, you don't even have time to think of your,
you feel like you're
of
walking
work
on
that
water
day.
It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, I mean, I'm loving your quote here. I was destined to thrive with my feet strapped to a plank of wood instead of a pair of goodies. Is that the right pronunciation?
Oh, goodies. Goodies.
Goodies. Oh, goodies. So it's Northern Irish for trainers.
Yeah.
So I thought that's quite interesting. So this is obviously when you were at university, you came over to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So originally from Northern Ireland, came over to Scotland University and coaxed to go and try water skiing and wakeboarding at Dunfermline at that time. Yeah,
uh-huh. Absolutely. And from then on, I was just hooked.
Instantly in love?
Instantly in love.
Just
immediately, I was addicted and I got this sense of, right, I need to go back and I need to do this and get better. I see these guys doing their backflips and whatever, and I'm determined to get there. But it's just so fun. You can go out and you can fall on your face and just laugh. It's just such,
I've drank
so funny.
So much water from that.
I just think people at home are going to say, this is fun.
Yeah.
You're going out, you're going to fall on your face, you're going to be pulled by a rope, you're going to be suspended. Yes.
Exactly. Mm. And it's just, it's so inspiring because you get kind of the best of both worlds from being an individual and a team sport, if that makes sense. So you're out and you're doing your own thing on the board or on water skis. So you decide what you do. You're kind of empowered to talk to your coach about what you want to do that day. But at the same time, you get like the best parts of a team sport because you have these guys on a boat or on the dock at a cable park cheering you on at every single thing, pointing out maybe the bits where you could do something else with your body to make something a bit easier, different things like that. So it's actually a really social sport as well.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to take you away from water skiing and wakeboarding just for a second because after university, you moved to France.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a fascinating time, and for fascinating reasons as well. Mm-hmm. So you finished your master's in international business management at Heriot Watt.
Yeah.
And then you went out the following year to study and work in France.
So I studied in Lyon for a year actually during my studies. So I was really lucky and fortunate to be able to do that and just had such an incredible time. And I really loved that region. So after I finished, I had that also classic panic of, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing. So I decided, you know what, I'm not going to let this pressure of finding work and things like that get to me or know where I want to be. I'm going to go back to France and just really work on my language. And to be honest, just meet different people, have different experiences and just kind of see what where I end up.
So how is the old French tongue now?
Oh, c'est pas mal.
No. Well, is that good? Is it bad?
Oh, I know.
I could be saying something that makes absolutely no sense. Oh, merci bien.
She definitely just said the toast is over there.
You'll never know.
But that sounds like a really, really nice time, you know, getting to know another country, another culture.
Absolutely.
And also while you were there, you were looking into water skiing and waterboarding over there. What's it like over in France? Is that something that's just second nature to people there?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I think the weather definitely gives them a big fat advantage and it's not fair. But yeah, no, I had an incredible time. I went over to Chamonix, which is maybe like to give you an idea about an hour and a half away from Geneva into the Alps. And I worked just in a bar there and just, you know, I had an amazing team, met some really wonderful people from all different backgrounds and everything. Actually, another girl called Emma from Belfast. So that was interesting. Very confusing for people we were working with.
The Emma from Belfast. No, the other Emma.
Yeah, yeah, there's another one.
Yeah, other one.
Dare I say. But yeah, so we had a really, it was incredible. It's, you know, the hiking, it was just such an active community out there as well. So they had the climbing world championships there, and I'm actually really into climbing as well, so that was amazing. They had the Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc, which is one of the biggest marathons in the world. They had, you know, so much going on, and so I had just such an incredibly fun summer whilst improving my French. But they did have wakeboarding park about an hour away, close to Annecy. So I, you know, made some friends who were very into snowboarding, and, you know, boarders, they need to be on a board all the time. So throughout the summer, it's a disaster. We need to find something to replace it with. So I went to a full circuit cable park called TNA Cable Park a couple of times, which, so basically to give you an idea, here in Scotland, we have two-point cables, which, you know, is in the name, it's going from one point to the other, up and down. So it's one-on-one. Whereas a full circuit cable, super efficient. You can get up to about 30 riders going round and round at one time. So it's actually quite intense. And it took me about 10 goes to actually get up again. And I said to the guys, I promise I can wakeboard. But so that was actually really good fun to try something different there and to actually get to see the wakeboarding culture in France as well, and how big it is over there. But they actually, their season only runs from something crazy like June till September. They have a really short season because, you know, anything under 20 degrees, it's just too cold.
Well, we don't think like that here.
Oh, not at all. We break the ice to get onto the loch, like, you know.
I've seen it done. Yeah.
But how fortunate. I mean, there's no doubt listening to you're absolutely passionate about this.
Mm-hmm.
So how fortunate is that you end up working for the governing body?
Oh my goodness, it's incredible. So I saw the role being just publicised whenever I was working in Teen, in a sales and marketing role, and I was just in love with snowboarding whenever I was out there. So I was able to do it like 5 out of 7 days of the week. So I was very fortunate. I was sending my friends still doing, you know, university, like, yeah, I'm on a chairlift
lucky
for now.
Life. Charlie, they say the luck of the Irish. I think it's definitely fallen at Emma's feet.
Might need
it
to move that way, me.
Oh, I know. I'm so grateful. But yeah, so I saw this job and I just thought, you know what, I just want to work in something that I have such a genuine passion for, because, you know, if you're going to be spending your days doing something, I want to make a difference for something, and I want people to have the experience or to have the ability to experience wakeboarding. I want it to be more accessible, and I want just awareness of what it is and the benefits involved to be more known, especially in Scotland where it first ignited my love with wakeboarding. But actually now in Northern Ireland, they've now opened Ireland's first full circuit cable near Belfast, about 20 minutes from my hometown. I'm thinking, why was that not there when I was in school? So it's making leaps and bounds across the UK and Ireland at the moment, which is just so exciting. But it's just so fun to be part of the movement of change and, you know, making the sport more inclusive at the moment in Scotland. So,
and one of the other things you're quite passionate about is getting women and girls involved, and you actually have a ladies' night.
Yes, absolutely.
Give us a little bit about how that all works and how many women you've got, what your plans are for it in the future.
So it's every Friday at 5 o'clock onwards, in the evening, by the way. We're not that.
We're
in the
that
morning,
committed.
5 a.m. off we go. Although the water is better. But so that's every Friday at the National Training Site, just at Townhill Lock, at the National Training. Yeah, well, I already said Dunfermline. Repeating myself, going in a loop. Mm-hmm. So it's going so well. We've just built such a great little community, to be honest. It's still growing, of girls in the sport. And this has ranged from, you know, we got 19, 18 year olds ranging right up to mid 50s. So it's just incredible to bring these people together and share a passion that we have. And it's just so amazing, the morale and, you know, everyone cheering for each other. We're having a barbecue, reel them in with food, step one. Exactly. But, you know, we even the past couple of weeks, we've managed to convince some of our friends to come along and try it for the first time. So we have all levels, absolute beginners, starting from the first time they've ever been strapped to a board, all the way up to, you know,
trying to land her backflip.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting her back roll going.
So, no, the ladies' night's actually incredible. And the other sites, Glasgow Wake Park has had ladies' jam nights, which has been amazing.
And that's at Pinkston, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Just there, just up the road.
So tell us, if someone in Glasgow wanted to get involved, how would they find it? I mean, if you've got a website or something and there's all this stuff on your website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
So you have, it's just Glasgow Wake Park. If you just look that up, they also will have Facebook pages as well, if you want to even drop them a message there.
Their Instagram as well. They've always got the nicest videos up, some really cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Emma, it's been lovely hearing you. And while Charlie's sat there biting at the bit to get in, had interrogation starts now, so you can have a little rest.
Oh, thank you. We can't stop talking. Like, you'll have to shoo us out the door at the end of the day.
It's only an hour long, this programme. You know?
We'll be here all night.
Charlie, lovely that you're here. And
thank you for having me.
A kind of different story from you, because, when did you start water sports?
So water sports, I used to sail a little bit when I was a little bit younger, and that's when I kind of realised I loved being in the water. But I stopped doing that, and for a while I tried lots of different sports and never really found anything that I enjoyed enough to stick at. And then I tried wakeboarding and water skiing with a charity group that I was with at the time, and they took us for like a one-off sort of day trip up there, and we did some stuff. And I actually, same as Emma, I tried skiing first, and it ended horrendously. So that made me go, I'm not sure this is for me. The next again year we went up, and I tried wakeboarding, it went really well. And the first time I ever did, like, got up and got going a little bit was in the middle of November. I remember the water was so blooming cold.
Get your Mario holds on.
You're like, painting a picture here, I'm shivering.
Yeah, like, my head was under the water for so long. Like, I was so cold. But that moment you get on top of the water was worth it all.
Wow.
Like, everything about it just felt amazing. And it was the thing that encouraged me to keep going back. And the thing that reeled me in and made me kind of understand why everyone gets this buzz from it.
Well, that is crazy. So I take it that's in Dunfermline as well.
Yeah, Dunfermline as well.
Wow. So you're really fortunate now because you're a senior team member.
Team
member. But you've had a really interesting bits and pieces throughout as well. You do a lot of work. You work a lot with charities. But I mean, it's been really, really good for you as well. You've had lots of really nice opportunities through charities. So tell me, first of all, the charity that's closest to your heart. Tell me what it is and what you do with them.
The charity that's really close to my heart is a charity called Fife Young Carers. There are lots of carers services all around Scotland and the UK, all working with the Carers Statement and the Carers Trust. They're basically for young people aged, our one in Fife is based from 8 to 25. and it's from all different young people from lots of different backgrounds who have caring responsibilities.
I was going to say to you, this is young people who's maybe have to look after their parents, maybe
mums, dads,
single mums,
brothers, sisters,
working, whatever.
Aunties, uncles, grands, grandpas, anyone in that sort of region. And it can be from anything from like under physical disability all the way to like cancer, to mental health and depression and schizophrenia, all the way to caring for siblings due to parents having drug and alcohol misuse problems. We are a real mixed bag of amazing individuals that have done some crazy things and have went through a lot, and it's a support organisation for that.
So this brings the young people together so that they don't feel that they're isolated and alone and there's no one else like them. They can meet together and it takes them out, sort of challenges, days
out. So, like, when you start off from the age of 8 till you're about 16, you've got, like, a group where you go to and you move up with that group. You can add in at any time. You don't need to start at 8. You can start at any time. Just get in touch with your local care centre. You can get, like, so you start off by going to the groups of people your age and getting to know people and beginning to understand that you're not alone is a really big thing that we push for that. And then from there, as soon as you hit 16, you can move on to a transition service, which is more to do with, like, you and how where you're going and where you want life to take you, as well as the group support as well there. Because we offer one-to-one service from 16 to 25, with transitions to try and help out as much as we can with that.
That's really good. So, you know, they took you to wakeboarding.
Yeah.
You loved it.
Yeah.
And you ended up, you were driving the boat and you actually became a coach.
Yeah,
so... Is this again all through the charity?
So basically how it happened was I went up with the charity a couple of times over like 2 years. I met the manager there and I think it was the second time I ever met him and he went, I like your attitude. I want you to work for me.
So this is the manager of...
This was the old manager of Water Skiing Wakeboard Scotland's national training site.
Wow.
So he was like, yeah, I love your attitude. Like, you've got a really nice buzz. I want you to be on our team. And I was like, okay. Like, not knowing anything about the sport. Really hesitant a little bit. And I decided to go to college and kind of not do it for a little bit. Then I started to like need a voluntary placement for my college course that I was doing because I was originally going to go into the charity sector and move forward with that. And he offered me my voluntary placement. I needed to do 300 hours over like 7 months. And he was like, we want you. So he let me do the voluntary stuff there, managed to do that for all my college course. And at the end of it, I was working part-time in the co-op actually. And he texted me one day and was like, right, Charlie, do you want some paid hours at the NTS? I was like, yeah. Like, it's a grass green. Same day, quit my job, got ready to start somewhere new and get moving on there, which is lovely. Wow. And I'm now there for my second season, doing the That's more time I spend there, the more
what
I'm
is your
getting
role?
On. So I currently do more of the land-based stuff. So my job last year and this year are more or less the same, just I have more responsibility now and more roles that are adding on to that because I've developed the role myself a little bit as well, which is really handy. I do everything from greeting everyone from the first moment they come in, making them feel really welcome, answering every question under the sun, and just basically getting everyone really settled. From there I do all the like on-land training, I get everyone set for going out on the water, make sure everyone understands, make sure they've all got like a really good knowledge of what's going to happen, and everyone like gets it, which is really good. It means I get to work with people from all ages, like all the way from little kids like 5 and 6, all the way up to, we had a 91-year-old man monoskiing the other day.
Wow.
Like, the world record is 93, so he's pretty damn close.
He's going to hold on. And you were telling me earlier about a fascinating thing you're doing with the disabilities and how you're getting them involved. So give us a little bit more about that side of your role.
So because like we're trying to make the sport really like open to everyone, because everyone should deserve to find a sport that they love and be able to go along with that. So through Five Young Carers, I have lots of friends that have caring responsibilities and things like that. So my friend Alana texted me quite recently and was like, my dad wants to try water skiing. Her dad is completely blind. Like, he's can't see. And he's like, yeah, I want to try it. So he's starting his own, like, he started his own page on Facebook and stuff, which I am going to plug, is VI Peter. He'd love the support. And he's trying loads of different activities, like trying to do one a month to learn new skills and to show people that just because he has this disability, it doesn't mean that he can't do what he wants. He's done everything from bowling to archery and even water skiing. So,
well, you could imagine the feeling going through the water of, you know, you're going to get that so much more in that type of sport when you've got the disability of not being able to see. You've got the feeling, haven't you?
Yeah, like the feeling that you have when you're doing it is like someone who is fully sighted is still like, holy moly, like I'm going fast. Like I can feel that. Like that, it all. Like,
to be honest, I think if I was doing it, I'd be closing my eyes in terror. So, you know, the feeling I would be getting would be somebody that's not seeing what's happening, but their eyes were closed.
But he did absolutely amazing and smashed it right out of the park, up first time.
Good
really
for
well.
Peter. Well done, VI Peter.
VI Peter, yeah.
VI Peter at Facebook. That sounds a fascinating one just to have a wee look through. But there's not just one charity you've been involved with.
No.
And I'm reading here that you went to Uganda recently. When was that?
So I went to Uganda last October. I got home on the 22nd of December. So I did just under 3 months out there, doing lots of work in schools, teaching about sexual health and reproductive rights, working with small organisations and like sort of youth clubs. Mm-hmm. Not like our casual youth clubs here. Our group were shoemakers. And we taught them about how to set up a probable business and how to, like, the best sort of advice we could give them on how to run that, the most effective way. And then also did some livelihood stuff about sexual health and reproductive rights with them too.
So how did this come about?
So I applied for a charity whilst I was working in the job I am now last year, because the job finishes in October.
So you take it, are you always seasonally employed?
I'm seasonally employed, yeah. For the role I'm in, it's seasonal.
Well, you can understand that, can't you? Yeah.
It just means I need to find some good winter season stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I applied for this and went to London, did a big swanky interview and stuff, and like it felt really, really like big. The day after I did my interview, I found out I had to go in. They were willing to offer me a place in either Nepal or Uganda. At the time, I was like, how can I pick? Like, I've never been to either. I'm not sure. I'll do any. And then luckily I was put forward for Uganda, which now I look back on and I'm like, yes, because you can fly to Nepal anytime. So I was like, I've done it. Like, I've done well.
What was the charity?
So the charity originally is called ICS. You go through them, and then that's an umbrella term for a few different organisations, which are Restless Development, which are a youth empowerment like charity. Then you've got Rally, who are a clean water project, and VSO, who do all things medical and health related. And I was like, from the get-go, I was like, yeah, I want to work with Restless. I want to work with young people. I want to put them first. I want to do what I've been doing at home over there. Which was really, really interesting.
Apart, I would think, from the water sports. That would be a bit difficult in Uganda.
Yeah, a little bit landlocked for that. but I did get to chuck in a little bit of my sports in there. One of the first big activities we actually did was a sports day in our like local school, which is like 2 minutes up the road from me, past the waterhole. Like, it was so lovely. The groups that we had, like, up to 100 pupils in a class, like, first, second, third year. Being there and 100 people like teaching them about lots of different stuff, and the sense of community they had when we were doing these events and the turnouts we were getting were crazy, because everyone just wants to get involved and they were really lovely. So we did a big sports day which we ran and did loads of different events, and it really motivated and encouraged people to do more.
So you're saying that when you're out there, you know, part of your role was teaching about sexual health and reproductive rights. Mm. Was that something that you were then, you're given that knowledge and information by the charity? Was there some sort of...
Yes, so there's like an agreement that goes on within the schools and the charity, where everything that we can teach is like taken to the government and it being like, is this okay? And then it's taken to the schools to be like, right, what can we teach? What is acceptable in your school? Like, our school, we were really lucky. They let us do whatever we wanted and they were just okay with it. Like, genuinely, some of the nicest people I've ever met. Whereas in other schools, they weren't allowed to talk about condoms because, like, contraception isn't always okay in some cultures. And, like, it was a real tough conversation for some of, like, our girls that were out there. to be like, I'm not allowed to talk about this thing that I'm so strongly believing in, but then growing and understanding to accept the culture around that. Like, they were allowed, and in other places you're allowed to mention it, but not demonstrate. But there was always an opportunity to go around that as well. Like, we ran a big, like, celebration for World AIDS Day. For the whole week of, like, the 1st of December, in all the different areas. We had four different areas. We ran, like, a World AIDS Day campaign, and we got over 400 people tested for HIV and AIDS for free. We did lots of condom demonstrations. I think we handed about 2,000 condoms out between all the events. And with the, like, 400 people we got tested, only 13 people coming back positive. When Uganda, 75% of the population is under the age of 30, their HIV and AIDS levels are really high. So this is the first time we had really put in practice how the, like, the situation is getting smaller. And even compared to, like, previous years when they've done events like this, seeing how drastic the changes in numbers are, which is amazing.
So that sounds like an absolutely wonderful experience. And obviously, as we're getting to the end of the year again, you're going to have to look for something come October. Would it be something you do again, or have you got other opportunities this year?
So with that charity, you can only do it kind of like once off because it's completely funded. You do a little bit of fundraising before it, but it's completely funded. So I'm now looking at other opportunities and trying to see where the world takes me.
Well, here's your opportunity now, just to have a shout out for MD that's looking for a...
Yeah, anyone that needs someone energetic and is looking for...
A spirited young woman.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask both of you now, before we go, you're both very passionate about getting young girls active and into water sports. So what's your plans for the future, Emma?
Our plans are to make sure that water skiing and wakeboarding, or if you ask anyone on the street, they know what it is, first and foremost, and that they know where the nearest place they can do it is, and that there is a route for them, a pathway for them to come in and join our community that we're trying to build. So, you know, as I mentioned before, with my history in sports and physical activity, I just think it's so important that everyone strives to try out something that works for them. There will be something out there, and to see the impact that wakeboarding particularly has had on women this past couple of years is just so inspiring. It's not just good for your physical health, but for your mental health as well. When you're out there on the water, you don't have time to think of, oh, that stressful meeting you had in work a few hours ago. Like, you are just fully there and you're fully present. And it's
living
just
in the moment.
Absolutely. You're there and you're with your coach, and the relationship that you build with the other participants and with the coaches is just, you can't describe it until you're a part of it.
How do you think you're going to do it? Have you got that plan in place, or is that me asking a question, or is it maybe under wraps at the moment? Have you got some ideas on how you're going to take it
forward? Wait and see. No, I'm working with the board of WWS a lot at the moment. We're actually working on the next strategic plan with Sports Scotland, and we're actually we're coming up with a lot of ideas on how we can just make sure we access everybody. So we're looking at areas of deprivation, we're looking at those with a disability in sport, we're looking at building relationships with Leap Sports, with Pride Sports, with yourself and Scottish Women in Sport, just all together raise awareness and to get events and things going for everyone. Even if you just come along, just to have a little look at what's going on, meet the team, and just really develop our people. So something, just to give you an example, it'd be here all night, as I said. We're really trying to focus on getting people more involved in the sport through qualifications. So I don't know if you've heard UKCC coaching courses. We're trying to get people to come on board and do their speedboat driving test through us and do that and get their UKCC, and just to be really a lot more involved with our little WWS community to grow it. For example, we're trying to get more women to do these qualifications so we can just be totally self-sufficient on ladies' night. Just grab the boat and away we go. So, we're just really trying to grow and just to get more people to know that we are lowering these barriers to entry and these misconceptions of the sport that are out there right now. Because
so perfect.
It's just so many people think you have to be strong, you have to have all this, you know, sporting background to be able to do this. But actually, if you have the right coach, and I will say that we actually are really lucky in Scotland. Like, the guys at Glasgow,
our guys are lovely.
They're Dunfermline, you know, we have Chris and Zach. They're just incredible coaches, and Charlie as well.
Well, let's ask Charlie while we've got her here. What's your plans for the future, Charlie?
So I would love to carry on with the sport and the way that it's developing and going in that sense. I love the fact that we're making it more inclusive for everyone, and I love being part of like everything that goes towards that and helping out everyone along the way.
Okay, well, listen, it's been great having you here. I have to say that our time is nearly finished. So thank you very much. Next week, my guest will be Charlene Joyner, who's a Commonwealth Silver Medalist, a cyclist. But as usual, before we go, there's been a big debate about this song.
Oh, yes.
And there's a reason beside this. So someone's going to announce the song and someone's going to tell us why. Please go ahead.
So we've chosen Barracuda by Heart.
And why have you chosen this one, Charlie?
We thought we could do with a really big woman empowerment song just to send us out on a high.
And this is something that you both use when you're out on the water.
Oh, see, when you're out there and you blast the speaker with just some... It's a real driving song, you know, you got the momentum going, your heart's racing, you're thinking, I'm going to jump off this wig.
So you've got music, you've got water, but we've had you two as a guest, and I think we've had a wonderful time listening to you. Good luck for your future, and thank you for joining.
Thank
Let's
you
hear
so
it for
much.
The Giddles.
Thank you for having us.
Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maureen McGonigal and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.